Vorige week was de Israëlische social media bekendheid Hananya Naftali in Nederland en België voor een aantal lezingen. En daar was nogal wat over te doen. Tijdens een van zijn lezingen, de avond in Surhuis te Veen, drongen een paar anti-Israël demonstranten de zaal binnen en verstoorden daar de avond, waarop het publiek weer reageerde met het zingen van Hevenu Shalom Aleichem. Maar hoe extremistisch is Hananya Naftali eigenlijk? Vorige week sprak ik hem in onze studio in Nijkerk over zijn standpunten en zijn motivaties en over zijn werk en zijn ervaringen in de oorlog als militair verpleegkundige in Gaza. Hananya, welcome.
Thank you.
It's good to have you here. And we want to start this interview with giving you a few statements about Israel. Okay. And for each statement, you have 1 minute to answer. And I invite you to answer in the camera. Are you
Perfect.
Ready for it?
Yes.
Okay, here comes the first statement. Israel is committing genocide in Gaza.
If Israel is committing genocide in Gaza, genocide against Palestinians, then we're doing a very bad job at this. Because you look at the numbers. Numbers don't lie. People can lie, numbers cannot lie. In 1960, you saw that Palestinians were at a certain number, I believe around 1 million or even below that, and you see the numbers today. The total number of Palestinians, not just in Gaza, is over 5 million. So that goes to show that not only that Israel does not carry out a genocide, but Israel is actually taking care for Palestinians. You see them in Israeli hospitals, working in Israel. So the answer is no. Israel is not carrying out genocide. Israel is in fact a blessing to Palestinians. Don't ask me. Speak to Palestinians. They will tell you they work in Israel and they enjoy getting the benefits from Israel.
We go to our next statements. In the context of years of occupation, October 7th was a logical consequence.
People like to say that October 7 is, Israelis say that before October 7 there was ceasefire, which is true. And the other side, pro-Hamas, they say, well, it's not October 6th, it's October 5, blah, 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 blah. Years of occupation and ethnic cleansing, and they like to say that it's a logical answer. And actually, if you look at the years, all the way for 1947, with the partition plan, the Jews said yes, yes to a two-state solution. They said one state for the Arabs, one state for the Jews. We agreed, the Arabs did not agree, and started to wage war of genocide against Israel. So you look at the along of the years, Israel always extended its hand for peace, and it is not the problem here. Israel offers peace, and it's time and time again that the Palestinian leadership refuses to have peace with Israel because they don't want peace with Israel. They want peace without Israel. They want a solution that does not include the word Israel.
We go to our next statement. Christians must fully support Israel and not be too critical on Israel.
I disagree. I think that Christians are commanded in the Bible to bless Israel and to pray for Israel. It's not a recommendation. If you ask God, it's written in the Bible. That does not go to say that you have to turn a blind eye. You can criticize Israel's policies. You don't have to like the policies of Israel. That doesn't mean that you don't support Israel. But supporting Israel means that you will always stand with Israel's right to exist, and you will always stand against anti-Semitism. And I think that if you have a problem with that, then how can you call yourself a Christian? Because almost any page that you open the Bible, you see the word Israel. Israel is important to God, and Israel should be important to every Christian.
We go to our next statement. Criticism of Israel is anti-Semitism.
So that matches with the previous answer, that you can criticize the policies of Israel. Israel is a country. Israel is not perfect. Show me, however, one country that is perfect. I'm here in the Netherlands. It's my first time here, and it's, to me, in my eyes, it's an amazing, perfect country. I'm sure that if you look with your eyes, you can find things that you don't like about the Netherlands. There is no perfect country in the world. But the fact that they put Israel under the microscope, this is a problem. because Israel is actually trying to do everything in its power to help Palestinians, to help our neighbors. We made 4 peace agreements with Arab countries. We clearly offer peace, not conflict.
We go to our last statement. The slogan, "From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free," is a legitimate claim for Palestinian independence.
So actually, this is a very hateful statement that many people don't understand. Free Palestine from the river to the sea. Most people don't even know what is the river, what is the sea. Actually, it means from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea. That's exactly where Israel is. People who chant this, you need to ask them, what do you want to free Palestine from? And the answer is Jews. They don't want Jews living there. This is why it's a very anti-Semitic statement, because it basically shows their true colors, that they don't want peace with Israel. They want peace without Israel. And this is everything that Hamas stands for. They want to build an Islamic state on top of Israel. This is the truth.
Thank you very much, Hananya. So, you are now for a few days in the Netherlands. We invited you as Christians for Israel a few months ago, and we organized everything, and people were registering to come to the evenings that we organized. And then something changed, and 3 locations where you were supposed to speak that were planned, they canceled for different reasons. But the most important reason was the bad information that was spread about you as a person and the message that you give. So how does that make you feel?
I love when I'm hated, because it means that you're doing something right. I learned it from, I was blessed to realize this from a young age, that if you do A, you will be criticized. If you do B, you will be criticized. Mm-hmm. So you might as well do what you believe in.
Yeah.
And I believe that standing for what is right is going to make people upset, because truth is a rare ingredient in the world we live in. Mm-hmm. So obviously it's going to make people upset, but I'm not going to apologize for what I stand for. Actually, I think that it really shows who the real extremists are, mm-hmm. because this is not freedom of speech if you ban speech that you don't like.
No. Now let's look at a few of the allegations that were made against you, because you were framed as being an extremist, as opposing Israeli propaganda, as being very one-sided, and as being very anti-Palestinian. So let's look at it. You support Judea and Samaria, and that's why you are an extremist. That's what was written in one of the newspapers.
Okay. Judea and Samaria is the heartland of Israel. The majority of the biblical events took place in Judea and Samaria. Mm-hmm. It's from wine presses that you see, from ancient synagogues. The land screams that it's with Jewish history. Mm-hmm. Wherever you put a shovel in Judea and Samaria, you will find that Jewish history,
yeah.
and not a Palestinian one. And that upsets people,
yeah.
but this is the truth. Do I say that I think Palestinians should be expelled and kicked out? No, I don't say this. But I say, if you want to have a historical argument, let's have this.
Let's start there.
We will win this argument. But this shouldn't be the argument. The argument should be, how do we find a solution? There are 2 people here. We believe, we love them. I never was taught in my life to hate Palestinians. Mm. I believe in peace and I love Palestinians. I love Arabs as a Jew, Israeli. That doesn't go to say that history shows, and history does not lie.
No. But if we look at this specific area, the Judea and Samaria, it's also called the West Bank, and the international community is agreeing somehow that this is occupied land. It's occupied by Israel, and therefore it's illegal to be there and to even say that Jews have the right to live there.
You know, the international community says a lot of things, and I think that a lot of people in my generation, they start to become very worried, Gen Z and millennials and below, that what is the world going to look like when international community, international organizations that need to defend social justice, human rights, are siding with the perpetrators? Mm-hmm. Did you know that Iran received a place of honor at the Committee for Women's Rights, defending women and nuclear facilities as well? It's just ridiculous. You see that they're going after the one country that defends Palestinians. Actually, in the army, I was a combat medic. Mm-hmm. Most of the people that I've treated were Palestinian and Syrians. So if we are so bad, Why are they coming to us when they need help?
Hmm. So in one of the newspaper that published things about you, it said that you would legitimize Israeli oppression of Palestinians because you don't think that there should be a Palestinian state. Is that true?
People say many things about me, and I think that it's very interesting, especially people that never met me in their lives, and they say claims about me. I think that it's a very complicated situation, and there's basically people that say there should be one state, and that people say that there should be two states. I think that any solution must include obviously both peoples. I don't believe in expelling anyone. I don't believe in killings. I don't believe in violence. I believe in peaceful solutions.
Yeah.
However, when Israel is attacked by terrorism, political terror, that they want to kick us out of our lands using terror, that should be condemned.
Yeah.
Israel is not the obstacle to peace. They say that settlements are an obstacle to peace. How about terrorism, an obstacle to peace?
Yeah.
So in any solution, Israel must have the right and the chance to have
secure
the ability
borders.
To secure itself.
Yeah.
Because we saw what happened in Gaza. We gave them Gaza, and Prime Minister Ariel Sharon said that they will never have rockets, they will never be able to threaten us. Look what's happening. Mm. Thousands of rockets were launched, were fired at. I ran to the bomb shelter several times.
Yeah.
They target our cities, they target our families. I don't see condemnations about that. Or it's in compared to how they condemn Israel. It's incomparable.
Yeah. So one other allegation that was made against you, a very serious one, is that you allegedly posted a tweet about dead Palestinian babies. And the comment with this tweet was, the world should thank us for destroying these little bombs.
Yeah, I was shocked when one of my Dutch friends informed me of that, and I was quite shocked to hear that allegation because this is a fake tweet.
Mm-hmm.
I never tweeted that. You know, with the same mouth, they say that I'm doing propaganda for Israel, and then they say that I post this. So if I do propaganda for Israel, why would I post something like this? Mm-hmm. Because this is not good. So it's just illogical. Actually, the truth about this fake tweet is that an Iranian media agency called Tasnim, they first tweeted this, posted this, in order to make allegations against me, using me.
How do you know that they posted it?
Well, because I deal with advocacy in Persian. I speak with the Iranian people in Persian language. That makes the Iranian regime very, very angry with me.
Mm-hmm.
And they try to harm me in any way possible, not just physically, but also using social media. We're in the age of AI technology. I'm surprised that they didn't go farther, but they started with this tweet and they put their logo there. Actually, if you investigate the tweet, you see that it's photoshopped because you see that the lines don't align, but I believe that we're stepping into a very dangerous era with how people can believe fake news and really think that this is something that a human being can say.
Yeah.
Because it's heartbreaking when children die. It's heartbreaking when there is conflict and when there is war. We hate wars.
Yeah.
I hate war. I do what I do because I love peace, not because I love wars. So it's just a ridiculous allegation.
Yeah, you do what you do, and you mean by that you are very active on social media. You make videos, you explain about the situation in Israel, you explain about the beauty of Israel on social media. Since 2013, why did you start doing that?
I started defending Israel in the army, and I started because I fought in Gaza in 2014, and I saw, after I came back, the amount of hate. That there were protests against Israel, burning the flag of Israel, and saying that we're war criminals, calling me a war criminal.
Mm.
And before entering Gaza, we were given street commands by the army saying, you are not going to target Palestinian people. Your enemy is Hamas, and actually it's the enemy of Palestinian people also. And I was very upset and angry that this is what they're saying about us. So I said, I will start and make a difference. I couldn't sit silent. I couldn't sit idly by. So I said, okay, I will save In the army in Israel, you back in the day, you didn't get a lot of money, so I would save my salary after salary after salary. I got my first camera. Mm-hmm. My first camera my parents got me. I upgraded my camera, and I started to tell the story of Israel from my house, from my living room.
Yeah.
I was very shy growing up, so I didn't know how it's gonna work, but I felt comfortable talking in my living room, in my room, and it turns out that it worked very well.
Yeah.
Because people connected to, I believe, the authenticity, that I'm not trying to show, to be someone. I'm just an Israeli. This is my story. I may not be perfect. There is no perfect human being, but I want people to understand what's going on. Hmm. I don't ask people to love Israel. I would love people, everyone, to love Israel, but I want people to know what's going on and then decide for themselves.
Right, because your work grew, so you have been doing this for over 10 years, and now millions of people follow you. Is it important that people follow the news about Israel through an influencer like you?
I think that it's very important because it breaks this. I believe in building bridges. Mm-hmm. And this is why I'm in the Netherlands, to build a bridge between Israel and the Netherlands, because we are very similar, Israeli people and Dutch people. We're very straightforward, and we don't like to be lied to. We don't like the blah, 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 blah. Get to the truth. Get to the real meat. Mm-hmm. And this is why I think it's very important to stay connected with platforms like I have, because I just give you the truth. And if it's bad news, I will tell. I will say that this is what's going on.
Yeah.
Because I think that we live in this world where credibility is like gold, and people are sick and tired of fake news.
Yeah. Since October 7th, the war in Israel started, the most recent war. What did you do since then?
So when the war broke out, everybody were shocked. Mm-hmm. I woke up and ran into the bomb shelter again and again and again. And then I got deployed. 2 days later, I went to the northern border. I got deployed. I'm in the armored corps, in the tanks, and a combat medic there. After that, I got called back to join the digital warfare, mm-hmm. defending Israel in the digital arena. And that's what I've been doing for the past few months.
Yeah.
I've also been deployed back. I was in the Gaza Strip. Mm-hmm. And I have to tell you, though, that the things that you see in the Gaza Strip and in southern Israeli communities are not what you see in the Dutch media.
Tell me, what is the difference? Because you have been in Gaza, you have seen it with your own eyes.
Right.
What did you see?
So when you watch the media, mainstream media, they almost portray Israeli soldiers like we go with a gun and we just shoot everything that looks mm-hmm. Arab. How ridiculous this is. Actually, when you're in the Gaza Strip, you're taking care of Palestinian civilians. We saw Palestinian people, not me personally, but my friends saw Palestinian civilians that needed medical care, took care of them. Mm-hmm. Israel spends so much energy in warning Palestinians. Israel made over 13 million phone calls to Palestinians, distributed leaflets, deployed drones with speakers to say, hey, please evacuate. We're going to target this area soon. Mm. What kind of an army in the world spends so much money and energy into warning the other side that, hey, we want to target this? And Israel is paying a heavy price because also Hamas knows that we're going to target it. But this is what's happening in Gaza. In southern communities, you saw homes invaded, broken into by terrorists. You see bullet holes in homes, in the living room, in the kitchen. You see blood on the floor. How can you tell us that we don't have a right to defend ourselves? Mm-hmm. I want people to imagine that your daughter, your sister was taken away. Wouldn't you do everything in your power to bring them back?
Mm.
So this is why we are in war, because of people like Naama, people, photos behind you, that they're in a living hell. There is evidence of rape, and you don't know what they're going through. Are they eating? Are they getting the medicine that they need? We have a baby that celebrated its first birthday on planet Earth in Gaza. Mm. How can we not defend ourselves?
But still, people will react to that. They will say, okay, there is 130 hostages in Gaza, but does that justify the fact that 2 million Gazans have to suffer under this war? Is it like a punishment in a hole?
And a lot of people like to say proportionate response. And I liked one of the journalists said, how can you talk about proportionate? So if you want Israel to do a proportionate response, you want Israel to kill the same exact number of Palestinian children, rape the same exact women, burn the same exact houses, this is proportionate response. Israel is not like them. The Gaza Health Ministry releases big numbers of 30,000 people dead. Don't forget that this health ministry in Gaza is ran by Hamas. We saw them using hospitals as headquarters for terror. In a place where you deliver babies, they were delivering weapons to militants. So it's heartbreaking. War is bad. But let's not forget that a poll was conducted recently that showed that the majority of Palestinians in Gaza actually support Hamas.
Yeah.
Many of them do not. I don't believe that civilians should ever be a target. But war experts are also saying that they're seeing something. Israel is creating a new standard for urban warfare to not target civilians, only the combatants. But, Sarah, I have to say that it's hard because the terrorists dress as civilians.
And that's hard to recognize them then.
And still Israel is targeting the terrorists.
Right, but the suffering is there. We see the images on the news, and maybe it's one side of the image and we don't see the full. I haven't been there, you have been there. But the suffering is there. So for those people who feel with the Palestinian people and they care for them, it's also hard for them to know what is a good solution. You say Israel is preventing from harming civilians, but we see the pictures daily on the news.
I have to say that it's heartbreaking, and I'm not here to say that Palestinians are not suffering. Mm-hmm. Israelis are suffering and Palestinians are suffering. This is why war is so terrible. But I have to say that before this war, there were thousands of Palestinian workers from Gaza coming to work in Israel. I visited the Hadassah Hospital in Jerusalem. I saw beds with patients from Gaza receiving life-saving surgeries by Israeli and Arab doctors. And all of that stopped because Hamas decided to carry out the genocide against Jews to try to erase as much of the Jewish state as it can. So I would challenge the viewers with this question. If you had a neighbor that said, hey, I murdered your neighbors and I would murder you too if I could, what would you do? Hmm. The only, you know, when the Allied forces were fighting the Nazis, Nazi Germany, nobody said, hold on, let's discuss this. They said, this is evil. We need to uproot this evil. Just imagine what the world would have looked like if the Allied forces would make peace with the Nazis.
Right, yeah. So if we look to the future, do you think realistically that there will be peace soon?
This is my wish. Mm. We grew up in Israel with the word shalom, which means peace. In Arabic also salam, which means peace. We're one Abrahamic family. We were never meant to be enemies. And this is my wish, to see peace. Mm-hmm. I visited the Dead Sea and I filmed a video about Israel. An Arab came to me and said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm filming a video about Israel. And he said, come drink coffee with us. And he was from Jericho. And he said, this is something that we wish for, to see peace with you.
Yeah, but do you think it's going to happen soon?
I think that with the current leadership, it cannot happen. Mm. There has to be a new leadership that loves the Palestinian children more than they hate Israel. Mm. Because we need to break this cycle through education, because they're teaching the next generation to be violent against Israel. We don't teach our children that Palestinians should not exist. They teach that Jews should not exist in Israel. Mm. So it's a problem. I have to say, Sarah, I spoke with a Palestinian from Gaza that fled Gaza. He lives in Israel now. And he told me, Hanania, even if we gave them Jerusalem, even if we gave them all of Israel and went back to Europe, they would chase you down there and kill you because they have a problem with the Jews, not with Israel. This is a war not about land, it's a war of religion.
But it's also a sad thing to realize that, you know, this war is not going to be over because it's also an idea of people, an ideology.
Yeah, it's a radical ideology and you cannot limit this to a border. People think that this radical ideology of Hamas is in Gaza, it's not in the Netherlands, it's not in Berlin, but you are you see that it's happening. Yeah. You see pro-Hamas supporters protesting, calling for in the disguise of ceasefire. So how about calling for the release of the hostages? Hmm. Israel wasn't the one that started this war.
No.
And they actually started this in 1947 when they waged war against Israel. And also before the establishment of Israel in 1929 when the massacre of Jews in Hebron. So it's not an excuse, the establishment of Israel, to start a war against Israel. It's the Jews.
Yeah. You're a believer in Yeshua.
Yeah.
In Jesus. How does your faith help you to continue your work?
My love is what leading me, because I believe that God is a God of love, a God of grace, but also a God of justice and a God of war. If you read in the Bible, he's saying, I will fight for you. Be still. And I put my hope in God. When I wake up in the morning, I read my Bible. It's something very encouraging to, you learn lessons of loving your enemy, of not wanting conflict, but also believing in justice. And it's something that really helps me also to connect bridges between Jews and Christians, because I'm Jewish myself. I think it's an amazing thing to read your Bible, and it's the most relevant book.
Yeah.
It's written in the Bible that Israel is going to be attacked. The nations will rise against Israel. God says what will happen to them.
Right. What would be your message to the Christian viewers of this show in the Netherlands, also in Belgium, Europe, worldwide, who are watching now?
Two words. Thank you. Thank you for standing with us. We need our friends today more than ever. It's not easy to stand with Israel. It's not an easy thing. But God doesn't give us easy tasks. Mm. He gives us rightful tasks. So I want to say thank you for praying for Israel, for praying for peace. Also remember the Palestinian people in prayer, because they need prayers as well. They need to be free from this radical regime of Hamas, of dictatorship. So thank you for your prayers, and please keep praying for us. We are, our alliance is gonna go farther, but it's our responsibility to build it.
Thank you very much. Will you pray with us, Hanaya?
Absolutely. Father God, thank you so much for bringing us here today. I ask you to use us as vessels for your service, to be able to defend the truth, to fight for peace, and to celebrate life together. I ask you to bless the Netherlands. I ask you to bless the Christians of the Netherlands that stand with Israel, even though it's not easy. Bless them, grant them their requests and everything that they need, and bless my time, my first time in the Netherlands. We pray in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Hanaya.
Thank you.
En u thuis, dank voor het kijken naar deze uitzending van Christen voor Israël. U kunt betrokken blijven in gebed. En daarvoor kunt u terecht op onze website cvi.nl/actueel. Daar vindt u meer informatie en ook concrete punten waarvoor u kunt bidden. U kunt ook betrokken blijven bij ons werk door u te abonneren op ons Christen voor Israël WhatsApp kanaal. En meer informatie daarover kunt u vinden op cvi.nl/kanaal. Nogmaals, dank voor het kijken en graag tot de volgende keer.